The moment you've all been waiting for an entire week since the last episode of Shoujo is here upon you. Your girl Sarah and your boy Joe are here to talk you through some more Shoujo anime. As usual, showing Joe Shoujo, continuing the Rose of Versailles. And boy, are these episodes, like, I like these episodes. They're very good episodes. Oscar, much more likable.
But she's ready to fight these episodes. She's like, you know what?
Okay. And then
it's great.
Yeah. Well, didn't you say the director changes after the first 9 episodes or something?
Oh, yeah. I think I did say
maybe
that.
Maybe that's why.
Let me see if that's true.
They're like, oh, she's not likable yet. And at least I didn't like her until now.
Well, this feels much more like when the character is switching over. Like, we're getting closer to when, like, the main character is switching over.
Oh, yeah. What, like, shifting from Maria to Oscar?
Yeah, because, like, Maria's in these episodes, but she's not, like, the perspective of these episodes so much. I mean, she really hasn't been, I guess, most of the time, but it's, like...
just annoyingly on screen anyways. I hate her. I hate her, Joe.
I know you hate her. She comes across real bad in all of these.
Yeah! Like,
it's the most, like, I think we end this series, like, a cheering for for them all getting executed. I don't, it's going to be hard for me to be like, how are they going to pull this back?
Well, I mean, we know what happens to her, so, like, it's just a matter of if the show's going to make it seem justified or if we're supposed to be sad about it at the end. But before we get into more of what she's done, let's catch up. I hear word on the street is you watched season 1 of The Sopranos.
I watched season 1. We did a second take. That's why we're saying that. Yeah, I watched season 1 of The Sopranos. It was good. I don't have that much more to say about it. Yeah, it's very, it feels like a tie, like a period piece, even though it's not. They use payphones, stuff like that. That's all good. They drive those cars. You used to be able to just shoot people and there weren't security cameras, so you just didn't really have to worry about it. Now you gotta like do some complicated stuff where you like blow up a drone from 5 miles away or whatever, you know. It used to be so easy back in the day to be a mobster, and now it's all complicated.
Those were the days because this is like a big, like,
I didn't have to worry about end-to-end encryption.
Now you do. Our protagonist is like a bad guy show, which I think at the time, when did it first come out, like
The Sopranos?
Right before early 90s?
The Sopranos from 1999 to 2007.
Never mind. That was more recent than I thought. Okay. Well, okay. I feel like that's like a show that's been talked about so much. I don't know that it has like a major plot twist that gets spoiled on the internet like some shows, but nothing's been like.
Not really. Like, I know what the ending is because it's like controversial or whatever, but it's just that it has kind of like an ambiguous ending. That's kind of what I know about it, which is not really a spoiler.
I've watched the like ending scene just because I was probably watching some documentary about how like it was like some people are like, wait, what? And then others thought it was a good ending. Hard to end a show. HBO has since learned there can be petitions.
My understanding is that people like this ending. I like ambiguous endings for things anyways, so I think I'm probably going to end up liking it. But it didn't destroy itself like Game of Thrones did or How I Met Your Mother did, so that's good.
Did you watch How I Met Your Mother?
I've seen it. Like, I watched just random episodes of it on TV. And like at the time the finale aired or whatever, I had some friends that were like big into it. So I watched it with them and they all hated it so much. And I was just like, And then that show is just nobody ever thinks about it anymore.
Well, they made a show called How I Met Your Father with Hilary Duff that I don't think is as notable. Well, let's just like.
What are you watching?
Joe's thing about talking about.
Go ahead.
I've been on HBO. We love HBO this week. They have a documentary series called History of Sitcoms that I have been enjoying, and each one is like talking about like the evolution of a different aspect, like sexuality or race or class differences and gender and stuff. And I am not a sitcom person, really. Like maybe today, now that they don't have the laugh tracks, I just don't, I'm like, I don't want to be prompted. Like I'll decide if something's funny or not. I don't need like audience reactions. But it's been interesting to watch. And I forgot where I was. Oh, that How I Met Your Mother was just kind of like, didn't really bring anything new to the table. Just another group of white folks in New York kind of thing. So, but yeah, back to what you've been up to, Joe, other than The Sopranos.
That's mostly it.
All consuming.
Trying to think of what else I did. I'm close. I'm getting close. I'm probably like 2 hours away from finishing Forgotten Anne. I decided to pick that back up.
Oh, yeah.
And I played more of it, and I'm close to the end.
Ooh, okay.
That game like offers you to make decisions that feel like they're really important, but also feels like there's kind of only one decision that makes sense to do.
Ah.
So that's weird.
So not really. Or it's like if you pick the one that's clearly not the one they want, they would just like steer it back to that original choice.
Yeah, it makes me really wonder what would happen. I feel like
make it again.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Because it seems like you just wouldn't do that. But it has gotten a little bit more abstract and weird with the gameplay at the end, and I am enjoying that part.
Okay.
It is almost like a Braid kind of thing where like you control a shadow version of yourself and like mess with things. That was cool. So hoping we get some more little weird set piece things before the game ends. But I think storyline wise, we're reaching the end.
Okay, nice. Okay. Yeah. See, now you're the one who knows. I like barely played that game, recommended it to you. Now I barely played it and you're almost done with it.
What else? Oh, I beat the main Gears of War 5 campaign.
And this is a new playthrough or your first playthrough?
I never played it before.
One.
Yeah. Thoughts, so I'm playing like the DLC now, which is like a separate thing. You can really tell that like Gears 5 is where they like got to do all of the narrative and character work that they set up in 4 that they just didn't really get to do, it seemed like, because 4 just seemed like a bunch of things happen. And also here are some characters, but I'm not really going to tell you why you're doing these things or what the implication of that is. And this game seems to be leading more into that. That being said, at the end of it, you make a decision about like which you get like a choice between two characters that live or die. And it seems like a really important choice that's going to have ramifications for whatever comes next. But you kind of make it and then the game ends. And then it's like, well, what? Like
you can import that into this is not like a continuous story between titles. There's just like a.
Yeah, because it also
decisions like that up to this point, or this is the first game with decisions. Okay,
it's the first one. You like it kind of comes out of nowhere. It's like in the last act. And then all of a sudden it's just like, who do you want to save? And I'm like, what? But it also. You know, I guess the next Gears of War is like a prequel to like some of the first stuff. But if they do a Gears 6, how are they going to make it so that either character could be alive in it? That sounds crazy. That sounds like so much work to do for this like gimmick of a choice that ultimately I feel like they're just going to force one of them. And I feel like there's an obvious answer to pick.
What normally they do is just. Like, oh, you're talking to someone, you're you, and then some new character, and you're like catching them up on all that happened. And then they ask, yeah, but what happened about this? And then you'd say this or that happened. And then it just carries on that narrative.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is that like they would have to make the entire game with a character present in one version and a different character present in another version. And this is like an important character.
Well, in Life is Strange, you have the choice of Chloe, and I'm pretty sure she never shows up. No matter if she's alive or dead, so maybe they'll just chuck the character in the bin like they did.
Which
with her.
Sucks because I like the character, so it's too bad. No, weird Chloe. Decisions, but yeah, yeah. They added like a open worldy kind of part to some of the sections that actually worked pretty okay for me because I usually hate open world stuff, but this worked fine because it's just like little side missions in a hub world, which was okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Like it's fine to explore to be given the option to do things. If you want, but not like it's not like annoying collectibles or that are like forcing you to explore every nook and cranny if you want to complete the game, right?
No, it's not like that.
Okay, that's good.
I mean, yeah, so that was pretty good. I usually don't like open world stuff because I feel like it's just an enormous waste of your time. because it almost is always an enormous waste of your time. Like, not even that you have to do everything. Like, even if you just follow the stuff you're supposed to do, it's like you have to go from point A to point B, and it's going to take you 15 minutes to like get over there. And that's boring and dumb. And I don't like doing it.
Yeah, I started replaying or picked up my replay of Marvel Spider-Man because the second one's been put on Steam now. But it's really hard to, if you're not good at video games and you like drop and pick up a game and then you don't really remember the controls, and then like you don't bother to like look up what the controls were again, and then you're just annoyed because you suck at the game, but also I can't be bothered to like relearn it and all that.
Yeah,
but at least that one's like, it's a pretty, like, it's not crazy big map, and traversing is actually fun in that game, so at least there's that. But like the right open world games do the thing where there's like one mission you had to do plot wise that introduces you to some side mission that you can continue just doing. So you can't just completely ignore it because they like require you to acknowledge that that's a thing you can do in the game by doing like a tutorial mission about it as part of the story.
Yeah, like an introduction to mini games or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, what have you been up to?
Okay, Joe, last night I played a new game. I'm really liking it. I played it for like 5 hours until like 2:30 in the morning, but it's called The Silent Kingdom. It's just went into early access. It's like an Otome game with RPG elements, so it's like, you know, RPG with like really nice art and sprites and like good music. They even have sugar, or was it fairy? No. What's the Nutcracker? Sugar
Apple. Answer the Sugar Plum Fairies.
Yeah, playing that song at what part? And I was like, yeah, this song's good. But right, the romance, the dating sim elements are in it, but also there's like combat and stuff and a story and plot. And one person, it's like a solo dev, has been making this, which is crazy. And only like the first chapter of the game is out, and I haven't finished it yet. And I'm assuming there's going to be at least 3 chapters, which means it'll at least be like probably 18-hour game, if not more. But I'm like excited. I streamed it, so I'm like, if I'm playing a dating sim by myself, I'm just there playing it, or maybe I like sigh to myself like, oh, love. That would be nice. But I don't know if it's like streaming where someone's watching me play a game like this and I'm just like a little weirdo of, I don't know, but I'm enjoying that a lot. I like, it's a gorgeous game, hot dudes, just, you know, and stuff. Like, I've already kissed somebody, and we're only in the first chapter of the game, so we're making progress like crazy. So I'm like playing that, The Lost Kingdom, and anyone's interested, it's like $17. Liking that a lot.
Yeah. Is it hard to play? Like, is the game difficult?
No. And it's not like, well, it's just, I appreciate, right, because Otome games are always visual novels, so all you're doing is reading. So. And sometimes maybe they have raising sim elements to it, but like, it's nice to see someone trying something else. But it kind of is giving like almost like Octopath vibes, where like, you know, you just see your little characters walking around the world, and then there's like, you know, portrait art when there's conversation. Well, I haven't played Octopath or whatever that game is, but the art style is kind of similar, except for super like pixelated sprites are like pretty well defined. They're really nice. I don't know if you should look it up and see what it looks like, but I really like it. I know it's like not like the RPG elements aren't going to be like that good because it's not like a dedicated whatever, but I am liking something new to my Otome genre. So I'll let you. God, it's one developer though, right? So like, is this going to be an early access for the rest of time? Who knows? But I'm enjoying it.
What's it called again?
The Silent Kingdom. It's on Steam and Switch right now, I think. Yeah. Yeah. And let's see.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at this now.
Yeah, what do you think? Tharsa's cute, right?
Yeah, are you talking about like the like dialogue sprites or like the overworld? Well, okay, there's like several different things going on here.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what else I've been. I watched the first episode of a new shoujo series. I'm like, I don't know if I should just watch them or just wait to watch them if we cover them. It seems kind of okay. Like I had seen the manga, and the manga didn't interest me. But you know, there's no shoujo anime, so I'll take what I can get at this point. It's called like Honey Lemon Soda or something like that.
Yeah, Honey Lemon Soda. I heard of that.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's like unremarkable so far, but plenty of fluff every once in a while, you know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a blonde guy.
Yeah. Okay, and then I tried to watch it in dub. Okay, you would think at this point that they would have like more voice actors to like rotate.
What, the dub or the sub?
The dub. Like, no. I just cannot get into the dub. So I'm just watching it in sub. I just feel like not the right dude was chosen for the voice of this guy.
Oh, yeah.
This is like played like, I can't remember the voice actor, but I feel like he's played some kind of like adult figure before. So I'm like, oh, it's weird that you're a teenager.
There's like 30 English voice actors for anime stuff. And some of them have more range than others. And also, like, they get typecast super hard. So, like, anytime you hear somebody who's, like, not in the thing that they normally get typecast for, you're like, this is really distracting.
Yeah. At least it's not, because for a long time there, it's like, there was, like, the chick with the super annoying, like, high-pitched voice that just was like, why do we have to have that character? For every show where it's like, oh, your voice is just grating. I'm trying to think of the most annoyed I've been by a voice actress in dub. And I guess I wasn't watching subbed at the time because I didn't just switch the sub, but I tried watching this series called Chrono Crusade. And the chick's voice in that dub was so annoying that I was like, I can't do this. Can't watch this show. Maybe I should go back and try. Oh, I finished reading Claymore. I finished the Claymore series.
Uh-huh.
So I looked it up. Shoujo Jump Advanced means it's like more mature theme. So yeah, more like older teen is what that means. If you see a manga that's Shoujo Jump with advanced tagline on it. I liked it. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting. I like all the pretty ladies. I kind of already talked about it. But the badass like final fight. Love that.
Is the plot good? Like, what is the thing that's like the draw? Is it like the character design? Like, what is like your big overall feeling on it in terms of like, you should read this if you like this thing?
Well, I feel like I think I just like all the pretty ladies because I'm like, because it's just like, I've complained about this in the past, but it just never feels like there's like, interesting, you know, like combat strong chicks who aren't also then being like hyper sexualized or something. And there is nudity in it, but it's not like really as much in a sexual way. And it's not like super explicit or anything. But it's because there's like barely any dudes in it and they're all weak. So it's like freaking chicks just getting the work done. There is some like, oh, these revelations seem like glossed over, like we're not exploring this thing revealed, kind of like Attack on Titan vibes with some of the revelations in it. Lots of time skips, which I think were done No, I really don't.
I guess
normally.
It just doesn't matter.
Basically, it was like a 7-year time skip because there's like this massive fight where a bunch of Claymores died. And so the ones that survived, let the organization that created them think that they died in the battle too, but they were like secretly training in an isolated place for 7 years. And then they like re-enter the world and it's changed a bit, and then one of the human characters has aged a lot since then, so So now he's a viable love interest now that he's not a child.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just like, right. It doesn't feel like it goes super deep into anything necessarily, but there are so many characters, so lots of different things kind of are like briefly touched upon.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not like gonna be my favorite, whatever, but it's cool. I was gonna say I picked up, I've been going to Half Price Books. I'd gotten the Bleach stuff, and the other day I went and bought volumes 1-24 Kami-sama Kiss, because those were on sale. Oh, okay. So freaking can't watch it, but at least I can read it.
Yeah.
Legally. Yeah. So maybe one day that will be brought back.
Yeah.
But basically, I like cleared out a whole shelf off because I like took the whole series off the shelf, and then there's huge void in the bookshelf at Half Price Books where I just bought 24 volumes. But yeah.
Impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's about it.
All right.
Yeah. We've got exciting.
Yeah, we got three. Size stuff we're in the 3-episode territory, so these are going to be longer.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
All right, so we're going to talk about the Rose of Versailles. Now we're going to start off with some voice actors. The voice actor of Jean is Yoniko Matsukane. She plays Hans in Swan Lake. So we got another Swan Lake person in this dub because everybody comes from like the same 5 things, or like in the sub because it comes from like 5 things, right? Everyone's from Galaxy Express 999, one of the like fairy tale anime movies from the past, or like some weird mech show. That's like where everybody's from. She's also the voice of the vice principal in Miss Machiko, which is a show that people recognize. Maybe it's some older thing. I don't know.
I don't. Nope. Never heard of it.
But then basically it seems like she has just gone into live action stuff. So she's in like a bunch of live action TV shows kind of starting in the 90s, going all the way to like present day. So TV, pivot to TV. The voice actor or the voice actress who's the narrator, who we've heard several times across several episodes, is Noriko Ohara. She is the voice of Duranjo, who's like the bad guy lady in the Yada Man series, which is like a long, old series that has gone on for a period of time in Japan from like the 70s.
Yeah. Never heard of it.
Several series. She's like the character like looks ridiculous. She's also the voice of Claudia in all of the Super Dimensional Fortress Macross stuff. So everything going on with that. She's always Claudia. It's great. She is the voice of Ricky in Crusher Joe, who's like the little kid. That's both the movie and the OVAs. And she is the voice of Nobita in Doraemon, a show that has over 2,000 episodes.
Yeah, well, it's like kind of a Pokemon-esque where it's just like child anime forever.
Yeah, it's like a very long-running show for like smaller kids.
It's like a dog cat thing.
Yeah, I don't know what Doraemon actually is. He's like a little alien blue guy.
I just know, strangely, for some reason, formerly Harvest Moon, now Story of Seasons, had like a Doraemon Story of Seasons game for some reason, where it was like a farming sim with Doraemon, which is so weird. I did not get it, but I was like, what the hell?
Doraemon is a robotic cat.
Okay, a little robot guy.
And Nobita's the kid, so like that's why. That is a
like
good job.
Older Pikachu, where he's just like iconic creature thing from a long-running Japanese children's show.
Yep, very, very long. There's been 3 series, one from 1973, one from 1979, and one from 2005. It's very impressive.
Yeah, watching this old show, you get to see all your old show voice actors.
Yeah. This is how you know she's a professional, because this is why the narrator is so good in this show.
She's got a good name, Noriko Ohara. It's a good name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there we go. We're gonna get some narration this time immediately. The Rose of Versailles episode 10 is called The Beautiful Devil Jean. We open on everyone in Paris celebrating the new king and queen. They think since the king since King Louis XVI has simple interests, he'll be more amenable to the common man. We sing King Louis be crowned king after ascending the 40 steps that you need to scale to be crowned by the archbishop or whatever they, however they do it in France. Marie looks on and thinks to herself that he seems very stately. And then she's brought out to stand side by side with him as the new queen of France, as the OP plays. The narrator tells us that after the coronation of the king and queen, they visit the school of Louis de Grand to receive a congratulatory speech delivered by one Maximilian Robespierre from the law department. You should remember that name because that guy is going to be important later.
Of course, the school is named Louis something because it's inescapable. Name Louis.
The way that they bring attention to this is very funny because it's like, is Robespierre reading a speech? And the king is like, who is that man reading that speech? And
that
the guy's like, oh, that's Robespierre.
He's not that pale. I don't know why
he's not even that pale.
No.
And the king is like, Robespierre. I'm sure that guy is going to cause me problems later on. And we learn that he is the most revolutionary of the revolutionaries. He's the most radical of the revolutionaries. We'll probably be hearing more from him. Back in the Paris slums, the people speculate that now that the new king, isn't like Dewberry isn't around, he can't give all the money to her. There's definitely no women to steal up all the money. So it's fine. That's where all your taxes go. It's definitely not to other bullshit things. Rosalie is passing by and she wonders if that's really true. And then she's almost ran over by a carriage for the first time this episode. I think we should have a Rosalie carriage counter.
Okay. Number one.
She looks. Yeah, this is number one. She glances up to see that her sister, Jean, is riding in it. She chases after it and sees Jean get out and go into a manor. Rosalie thinks to herself that Jean ran off a while ago and is shocked to discover that she's palling around with the nobility now. She wonders how that could have possibly happened.
Well, I like that she goes in and peeks through the window and she's like, is that or does it just look like her? But then she hears her sister like evil laugh and she's like, okay, that's definitely my sister. And then she's sure of it.
It's very funny. Rosalie returns home to her sick mother. Her mom asks if she's thinking about Jean, and she says that she was. And she's thinking about how Jean is the only one that really seemed like she was from a royal line, where Rosalie thinks of herself more as a commoner. Her mom says that's ridiculous because actually Rosalie is the only one with royal blood, but then she stops herself before saying any more. We cut to the Bullivander's Manor. Jean comes in and the Marquise has her has to introduce her as her niece. So she's like, hello, ladies, this is my niece. She's so good at everything that ladies need to be good at, like writing and playing piano and stuff. And we learn that Jean has been spending all of her time in intensive lady training. So that's why she's good at everything.
Do we think this lady just took her on as like a pet project because she was bored or she really was
it
charitable?
Seems like it. Maybe like she just didn't have any kids of her own or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
it's never really explained why she does this. It doesn't really work out for her.
No,
but,
it does not.
Jean asks the Marquis if they can visit Versailles sometime. And the Marquis says that their family has not been invited to court, so they're not allowed to go. But Jean thinks to herself that she will get into Versailles no matter what. We cut to Rosalie being turned down for a job, and then we get an entire montage of her being turned down for jobs. She thought her life was going to be easier with a new king, but it seems like it's just more of the same. She stops in an alleyway and then is immediately accosted by a wild dog. So she runs out of the alleyway and almost gets run over by another carriage.
Carriage number two.
She thinks about Jean and maybe that she can help her out and goes to the Bullivander's Manor. We also learned that like Rosalie hasn't eaten in like 2 days.
Yeah, that sucks.
We cut to Jean being surprised that apparently her sister has arrived. She invites her in and her and Rosalie embrace. Rosalie fills her in on what's been happening, like how their mom is dying and how they're poor. But Jean tells her that there's nothing to worry about anymore. Jean brings her in and has her wait inside like a dusty room in the middle of that's just like closed off because I guess they just have a room they don't use or take care of. It's very weird.
Very suspicious.
Yeah. Why? Rosalie sits there and thinks to herself that her sister, hasn't changed after all. She's like still going to help us out. When suddenly a man bursts in brandishing a riding crop or like a whip. He tells her that he's Nicholas de la Motte, and he is Jean's lover and won't let her blackmail his dearest. Rosalie is like, blackmail? What are you talking about? But Nicholas starts to attack her. He tells her that Jean told him to send her away, and Rosalie is horrified that her sister would do this to her. Rosalie is whipped several times and then sent off. She wanders the streets. What?
I would think she'd be like, unable to walk or something, you know? I feel like she should be more effective, or she's just freaking all the pain tolerance.
Yeah, I mean, the way the show portrays violence is interesting because it like evokes the like reaction you're supposed to have without showing you much of the actual violence, which is probably the way to do it, especially for like the audience it's going for.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm surprised that they don't hold back some of the stuff that happens. Like a thing happens in next episode that's like kind of horrifying, and I think like they handle it pretty well.
Yeah. Man.
Okay, Rosalie wanders. Sorry.
The term lover, I hate it so much. And I don't like, why would you introduce yourself as someone's lover? Like, I guess it's just, like
you have to let them know that you've had sex.
But they haven't had sex, have they?
There's no way they have. He's like totally whipped.
Yes. Yeah.
He wants to imply that.
I just am like, why? I hate that term so much.
It's very goofy. Rosalie wanders the streets, now completely distraught and horrified at what has happened to her. We cut to Jean. Nicholas comes in and tries to hit on her, but she rebuffs him. Nicholas says that he'd do anything for her, and Jean thinks to herself that the next step in her plan is to get rid of the Marquise, and maybe she can use this moron to do it. We cut back to Rosalie, still wandering the streets, but it's nighttime now. She bumps into an extremely drunk nobleman, and he sees that she's very pretty and offers to buy her for the night. She is horrified and refuses and slaps him, and he gets angry, but then his attendant comes up and like gets him to stop. We learn that this guy's name is Count Marabou, and he's also going to be important later, so please remember this guy.
They didn't tell us that, though, in the show, did they? You just recognize that name?
Yeah, he just, like, the narrator doesn't say anything, but, you know, his attendant's like, oh, Marabou, you need to stop. And I'm like, I recognize that name, and I looked him up, and yes, he is part of the revolution early on.
Okay.
We'll probably see him.
Then probably gets maybe executed early on. Fingers crossed.
I didn't read his whole thing. I don't remember him that well, which makes me think that it doesn't really go great for him.
Probably not. I guess.
Let's see.
Go get it, attendant. Diverting his drunk attention.
Oh, nah. He just dies of some illness. It doesn't turn on him.
Ah. Okay.
Anyway, the attendants drag Marabou off, leaving Rosalie on her own. She thinks about prostitution being perhaps the only way for her to make any money and cries. Just then a carriage passes by and she chases after it. She doesn't get hit by it this time, but she does chase after it. Oscar and Andre are in it. Oscar stops the carriage and Rosalie comes up to her and asks Oscar to buy her for the night. Oscar, hearing this, breaks into laughter and tells Rosalie that, like, she probably can't tell because I'm wearing this uniform, but actually I'm a woman, so I can't buy you. Which, like, I don't know, Oscar, is that true?
Yeah, Oscar, get it.
Rosalie starts to sob and Oscar gets out of the carriage and asks her what's wrong. Rosalie tells her that she's poor and unemployed and also her mom is sick. Oscar gives Rosalie a gold livre and tells her not to do something so foolish again and then leaves, which is kind of big talk, Oscar.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was a very good, like this is the, you know, what people, resort to prostitution for, like in a very relatable way versus where everyone in court is like, oh, you're the worst if you do that.
Yeah.
At least Oscar treated her somewhat nice, despite having been like, Madame Dewberry, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, this is the Oscar likes people kind of thing, though, right? But again, like, prostitution is just a profession. That's just like a job. You know what I mean? Like, it is work. I don't think you should look down on it necessarily, just like in a broader sense. But being driven to this is not a good way to come into any kind of line of work. So Rosalie looks at an extremely valuable coin and tries to chase after Oscar to figure out what her name is. She does not catch up, and I don't think she learns Oscar's name.
Just in the carriage, one Oscar. The one lady who's in the whatever. Figure it out.
Yeah. It shouldn't be that hard, you'd think, but who knows. In the carriage, Oscar wonders what the world has come to if young women are having to stoop to prostitution. Back at the Boulevanders Manor, Rosalie offers to marry Nicholas if he helps her take over the riches of this family, essentially. She tells him he should go contact his guy that can forge a will. We cut to reports that there's a fire at the Boulevanders mansion. Oscar tells us that the Marquis is a friend of her mother's, and she and Andre go right out to help. In the manor, everything's on fire. The Marquis desperately searches for Jean and sees her at the foot of the stairs. Because she's on like the second floor banister. She's like looking down at her. But then she turns to see Nicholas come out of a room with a torch, and he approaches her. He grabs her by the neck and throws her over the banister into the blazing fire as Joan watches. It's incredible.
I was like, good grief.
Yeah, it's pretty visceral.
Yeah. Okay. The fire will cover up the fact that she was strangled to death.
Fire's going to get rid of everything.
Of when Madame Dewberry had that signature forge and then that place got burned down.
Felt
very similar scenario. She's just Dewberry.
Fires are common, you know, untraceable. How can you tell if it's an accident or not? Just a candle falls over and it all goes up. You'd never know. It's the next day, and Jean is in mourning because the Marquis is dead. Oscar and Andre arrive to pay respects. Oscar sees Jean and is like, who's that lady? And Andre tells her that she's apparently the Marquis' distant relative. And also, people are saying that she's like part of the Volus family or something. I don't know. Oscar recognizes the Cardinal, who's also there, as the disgraced ambassador to Austria, who was sent away by Maria Theresa for being a womanizer. She's like, what is this guy doing here?
Austria doesn't want her, but France will take it.
Yeah. Nicholas is like, hey, Jean, why is this Cardinal here? And she tells him that he's the highest ranking clergyman in France right now. And he's also easily to manipulate because he's like weak to women. So like, obviously we should keep him around. I can just get him to do stuff. Oscar says that if Jean was really a descendant of the Violus family, she'd have residency in Versailles and rank, which is just totally wrong. I don't know why she says this. We get one last scene where they read the Marquis' forge will that besets her mansion and estate and everything else to Jean. And Oscar thinks to herself that there is something terrifying to come as we cut to credits.
Yeah, so already Oscar just feels like a bit less stern, like so intense up to this point. But I don't know. I just like Oscar more now.
Yeah, like Oscar with Rosalie is really nice. I mean, that's like a very sweet moment of like somebody in like upper echelon cares about regular people. She perhaps is the only person in the upper echelon that cares about normal people.
Well, do we know if, because she's the father of a general, which maybe he only was awarded a role based off his service. And so it's not like, I don't know, like, do people respect her the same way or? Or maybe because she's not as high up, she's not hoity-toity.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they're like a military family, right? So it's kind of not from like the proper nobility necessarily. Like it's kind of like an offshoot. Like I'm sure General Jarjais has like interacted with commoners in the military before. So it's not just like he's spending all his time in like upper society because, you know, officers and stuff, like sometimes they'll get promoted from like regular ranks and things like that. So probably a little bit more exposure to diverse people, you know,
because he seemed like a dick when he made her a son or whatever, but maybe he's not all bad.
Yeah. Well, he seems to have mellowed out a lot.
Yes. Old age.
So, yeah. But yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I like this episode. I like how, you know, we get rid of Dewberry one episode and then the next episode we introduce somebody who's doing basically the same thing. Because this is about how the system produces this type of person instead of it just being like anomalies that keep happening.
Yeah. What do we?
I like that.
Okay. What do we think? I don't know if she's how many of these are gonna. Is she just like the second one, and then she gets toast, and then someone else comes, or we start?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is happening all the time. Is what's going on, like in local principalities and other places. You know, it's like people just trying to scheme their way up and do all that other stuff. Because again, like. Her options were do this or basically die, right? Because I mean, like, Rosalie gets lucky that she runs into Oscar, but if she didn't run into Oscar, she may have not made it to the end of the week.
I know, just a matter of poor mom. She's just wasting away in their little cubby.
Like, it's extremely dire. So, like, on one hand, I'm like, oh yeah, Jean's ridiculous and like absurdly kind of like doing evil stuff. But at the other hand, it's like, it doesn't seem like she's necessarily wrong to be doing this. Like, it doesn't seem like she really had any other options. The thing that Dewberry said last episode about, like, you've never had to scrap. I had to do things without thinking about the consequences or, like, the morality of it just seems to basically be true.
Yeah, she mailed out in age two. Because, well, Yeah, it's almost exactly the same, because instead of killing her husband, she just kills her benefactor, basically, in this one. She's just same playbook.
Yep, we'd love to see it. And or maybe we don't. I don't know. She's not as fun as Dewberry was. Dewberry was goofier.
Yeah.
This Nicholas guy sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like her beating her sister up. That was not good.
No, that was very bad. I know she was full of shit when she fake ass tears.
Yeah. That's not fun. I like it better when they're beating up on the nobility.
Well, cause she's like my sister. She's already losing her heart. And I'm like, dude, I don't think she had one to begin with. Like,
yeah.
She's so mean to the neighborhood children.
Rosalie does not read people particularly well.
No. Well, yeah. She doesn't have the brain power because she has no food.
Yeah, that's fair. She has not had any food.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. Ugh, dire. Any other thoughts about this episode? I mean, we're just getting introduced into the new villain, so.
Yeah.
But we're not going to see her for these next two episodes.
Nope.
These next two episodes are about other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into it. The Rose of Versailles, episode 11, is called Fursin Leaves for the North. Just really straightforward in terms of what happens. Everybody's still riding high on the new king and queen. We've seen Queen Marie receive nobility at court. Some baron requests that he be made secretary of the court and wants Marie's recommendation. She's like, yeah, man, whatever. Sure. And Count Mercy's like, maybe we should vet this guy. I don't know. But Marie laughs at him and says that she's not a child now. She doesn't have to take orders from anyone.
That's very adult-like. Just be like, shirk off all the responsibilities now that I don't have to be held accountable by anyone.
Yeah, then she dismisses everybody and leaves. She thinks to herself that she's finally queen. She can do whatever she wants and doesn't have to answer to anybody. She's finally free, as the OP plays.
Fucking likeable, man.
Oh my God. It's so ridiculous.
Imagine how stressful it would be having to be like her.
I just lost you.
The person delivering her terrible actions to everyone. Like, we'll see in a bit. Poor servants having to cover for her.
Yeah. No, this is like a nightmare for everybody involved, yes, except for her, because she does not think about other people.
Nope.
She's finally free. That's what that means. We return on Oscar and Andre sparring. Oscar does like an insane backflip up a tree and then disarms Andre and launches his saber in the air and then knocks it back into his hand, like, with her sword. It's like ridiculous. And then she's like, you've gotten way better, Andre. And he's like, I don't know. You're still like way better than me. It's like a completely insane sequence of events.
Crazy. Well, the lighting for the scene was kind of orange, which is like the same colors as what their flashbacks were. So I wasn't sure at first if this was now or like, I don't know, thinking about the past for a second.
Yeah. I think it was just the evening.
Yeah.
It had like an orangey overtone to it. But it looked good. I liked it. General Jarjays out the window tells Oscar that Queen Marie has promoted her to the regiment commander of the Royal Guards, which makes her a colonel now instead of a captain. And Oscar is shocked at that sudden promotion. We cut to Marie and Oscar talking at Versailles. Marie tells her that along with the promotion, she's going to double Oscar's salary. And Oscar says that she appreciates the thought, but considering France's financial situation, she'd prefer her salary stayed the same. Marie is surprised, but Oscar insists, so she agrees. But then she offers to give her something else. She's like, you want anything else? I'll give you anything you want, Oscar. And Oscar tells her that the only thing she wishes to see is Marie become a splendid queen, as Marie just kind of looks at her.
We need you to elaborate on what that means, because she's not going to understand.
Oh, I feel so bad for Oscar. Being like, do you know that like France is kind of really poor right now and we have bigger problems? You shouldn't be doubling my salary.
I don't know. I'm like, at this point, it's just like, just take what she's giving you and then do something meaningful with it, just so she can like.
Yeah, God, I mean, this is the heartbreaking thing, right? Is that like Oscar's going to refuse this, but ultimately it isn't going to matter because they're just like, you can't right the ship from the position that she's in. So, yeah, maybe she'd be better taking the money and opening up like a soup kitchen or something, you know?
Seriously.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
Do we think that if Duke Orleans would take over, things would be any better for the common folks? Maybe that's just like what should have happened.
I don't know. I mean, he seems like a smarter guy, right?
I don't know what he wants exactly. I guess like he could be like frustrated because it's like such buffoons are letting this country go down in flames. Like, I'll correct it by any means necessary.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like, I mean, he's like cruel and like murders people or whatever, right? Yep. And it seems like he just kind of wants the position for himself, but he does seem like a smarter guy. So like, I bet he would administer better than Louis the 16th is going to do. That being said, he still sucks. So I don't know.
Yeah. I haven't seen Louis. No one's being like, hey, get your wife in check or something.
That certainly is not happening.
Maybe he could at least, cause like, I doubt he's doing his duties either.
No, no, we're about to have a really interesting conversation later on. Later at the Jarjay's estate, Oscar puts on her new red uniform, which I don't like as much.
Yeah, it's the white with like the blue trim, like popped more with her eyes or something. Yeah. She doesn't look as good. Tragically. No.
Maybe that's on purpose. Maybe she's supposed to look a little out of place. Granny and Andre are impressed and joke around, and it's fun. A man enters and tells Oscar that many gifts have arrived for her from the palace to congratulate her on her promotion, but Oscar tells him to thank them for the gifts, but send them away and refuses to accept any of them. Granny's like, why are you turning down free stuff? And Oscar thinks to herself that Marie is too pure with her emotions, but all her money comes from people's taxes, so she probably shouldn't be spending it like this, or else everyone's going to hate her.
Though, and I don't think she's going to be like, oh, I should just return them now and get that money back. I feel like they're just staying in a room somewhere now.
Yeah, she's like, if this happens, if she keeps doing this, everyone's gonna get mad. And Andre is like, no way, everybody loves Marie right now. It'll be fine. But Oscar does not agree.
I'd be interested to see what she got that she thought Oscar would like.
Yeah, I don't know. At Versailles, Marie is bummed that Oscar won't accept any of her gifts. And you know who else isn't like, you know what else sucks? Fersen hasn't visited her once since she became queen. She asks Countess Knowles if there's been any word from Fersen, but there hasn't. Queen Marie is called to give an audience to the people, but she's like, I don't want to do that. So she cancels it because she's like, oh, I'm sick. I can't go. And the Grand Chamberlain is like, you can't just not go. It's like your job to see all these nobles so they can kiss up to you. Mercy agrees and tells her that these people came a long way to speak with her, and she can't just like turn them away for no reason. But Marie's like, eh.
I hate her. She sucks so bad.
She's such a brat. Then another woman enters and says that there's a request to see Queen Marie from Fersen. And Marie is like, oh, Fersen, that's great. And she goes off to see him.
Uh-huh.
We cut to many angry nobles who have been waiting for like 4 hours to see the queen, but she's still not here. Among them is Duke Gwemine. He's brought an emissary from Denmark, and he's like, hey, if the queen doesn't want to see this man, it could cause an international incident, but like her choice, I guess, so whatever. Remember this, nobles, she does not give a shit about you, he says, and then leaves. He turns to leave and sees Oscar, and he's like, Oscar, my nemesis. He tells her to move aside, but she doesn't, so he like shoves her out of the way.
I know,
while leaving.
Hands on the chest. Just can't grope in.
I don't think he was trying to grope her. I think he was just shoving her out of the way. Yeah, well, I don't think he's going to be so handsy after next episode, so.
No. Yep.
He leaves, and Oscar wonders if Marie is neglecting her duty after all, which the answer is like, yes, Oscar, clearly that's what she's doing.
So
we cut to Marie and Fersen hanging out. Fersen seems to know that he's taking up too much of her time and she's neglecting her duties, and he also tries to leave.
Beautiful.
But she's just so pretty, dude. He's like captivated. He's like, oh my god, she's so hot, I can't leave. Marie keeps canceling appointments, but Fersen is too enamored to refuse to hang out.
So funny. He's starting out so strong as a possibly like likable character, and
the beauty of Marie Antoinette is too much. I'm overwhelmed. Her charm is off the scale. I fail all of my charisma roles. It's crazy.
God, no. Nope. Not likable. She's fine looking, I guess, but that personality.
Sarah's like, damn, that redhead. You know, she's okay. Yeah. I guess.
I can see why Mana Dubear is so pissed. She sucks.
She's so bad, dude. It's so funny. We cut to Oscar walking around. She overhears Countess Knowles and Count Mercy talking about how Marie is neglecting her duties. They like point out that she's hanging out with Fersen in the garden. She's like, what the heck, man, she can't just be hanging out with Fersen all day. like, it didn't matter when she was a princess because the princess isn't a real job. Who cares what they do? But now that she's the queen, she has to spend her time doing, like, important stuff, not hanging out with some guy. It's a scandal. Oscar just watches stoically.
Well, we don't even talk about, like, oh, why wasn't he seeing her? Probably because he's like, oh, I shouldn't be carrying on an affair with the queen of a country. And then he comes. Yeah. Maybe he had the intention to be like, no, but he's just dumb.
He
boy
can't do it.
Can't.
She's so hot. Listen, you have to imagine a hot lady.
Just Madame Dewberry was hotter.
Ooh.
In my opinion. Damn. Hot take.
I'm much more a King Louis the 15th kind of guy, if you know what I'm saying. Right. He had the right court wife or whatever.
At least she had a brain. At least she had to think to scheme and hustle. She's got nothing going on, like her mom said in like episode 1.
Oh, dude, we get a funny thing from her mom later.
Yes.
We cut to Oscar going to Fursten's place. She goes to talk with him, and he's like, oh, I bet I could guess why you're here. She tells him that he should leave France, and he's kind of shocked by how direct that is, but he's not that surprised. He asks if there's rumors about him and Marie, but Oscar says that there aren't yet, but they're going to come soon, so you should just leave. Fursten reluctantly agrees, but is like, yeah, but this is really hard for me, Oscar, because, like, she's just so hot.
Oh, my God. Stop it. You think Oscar's going to be like, yeah, man, I know.
Oh, yeah, it's so hard for you, person. I mean, the whole country could collapse, but you're right. Not being able to hang out with a hot lady is disappointing, I know.
There's others. There are others.
It's so funny.
My God.
Oscar goes to leave, but Fursten stops her and asks her if she ever feels lonely. He's like, if you spend all your time as a man, you can't ever know the joys of being a woman. Oscar smiles and says,
was trying to put the news on Oscar. I was like,
a little bit. Maybe not. Maybe he was just curious.
No, he's like, aren't you like just horny as can be and it alters you?
I think that's what he was asking.
Decision making skills like me.
I think it's like this comes across as like, oh, well, I guess since I'm leaving, I never got to ask you, hey, what's up with you being a man? This is how I read it. Oscar smiles and says that she was raised to be a man and she's happy with the way things are now. First, it accepts that answer and tells her that they should meet again one day as Oscar leaves. Oscar and Andre's carriage gets held up in traffic. Apparently some kid stole some money from Duke Guimena's carriage and he's making a whole production of it. We stop and see that Duke angrily stand before a small child, like a really small kid. Like he's like 7 or something.
Maybe. Incredibly young.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Rosalie runs out to the child's aid and begs the Duke for mercy. She's like, he's just a small child who hasn't eaten in days and doesn't know any better. He doesn't know right from wrong. Let him go. Oscar recognizes her as Rosalie from last episode. She's like, hey, it's that one chick who I didn't buy. The Duke says, fine, just like get out of here. And everyone's relieved that the situation is going to resolve peacefully. Rosalie thanks the Duke and tells the boy, who's named Pierre, to run along now. Pierre turns to run home. And just as he does, Duke Guimena draws a pistol and shoots the boy in the back, killing him instantly.
This is insane.
It's wild. It's such a wild scene.
I was like, oh my God. Like, could they really get away with stuff like that? That seems.
Yeah. I'm going to guess. No one's going to call him on it.
Unacceptable.
Someone thinks this is unacceptable. All right.
God damn it, Andre.
His mother screams out and rushes him as everyone is stunned. The Duke laughs and gets back in his carriage. Oscar is so incensed that she runs out and has to be physically held back by Andre, who reminds her that Duke Guimena is a member of the Ducal family whose power is rivaled only by the king himself. This is like the most powerful guy in France, Oscar. You can't fight this guy right now. But she isn't hearing it, though, and Oscar has to force her back into the carriage as they pull away. Back home, Oscar is incensed at the Duke and cries. Later that night, we see Fursten pull away from Paris. The narrator tells us that it'll be 4 long years before he sets foot in France again, so we'll be done with him for a little bit. We get one last scene where Marie is informed of Fursten's departure and thinks about he left without even saying goodbye. She's all alone again as we cut to credits.
Okay, yeah. Again, Oscar, so much better now, and I
the juxtaposition of like the A plot being that Fursten has to leave because Marie isn't doing her job, and like it's kind of sad that he has to go and everyone's going to be alone. And then the B plot is like Duke Guimine murders a child in front of everybody and Oscar wants to kill him. It's so wild. I'm like, whatever, Marie Antoinette, who gives a shit about you being sad? Duke Guimine just killed a kid.
Oh my God. And no one, like, was she, we don't see her being told anything about that. So I don't know if she has any thoughts or
she would just
be like, yeah, whatever. That's too bad.
Yeah, I don't know. She would be scandalized. I think she would care.
I guess. It's the only, this is like the second time we've seen children in the show. There's hardly any. We can't afford to lose them.
Yeah. Damn, he killed that kid. Oh, again, the way that violence is depicted is like, it just shows like the kid's running and then you hear the gunshot and then it's like a big like blood splatter, but like a really ridiculous blood splatter, like all over the screen comes out. Like it's very good at like evoking the feeling without being gratuitous, which is nice. You know what I mean? Like I can imagine very easily the like shitty, gritty HBO remake of The Rose of Versailles where it's like you get to watch this kid's guts fall out or something stupid. And I'm glad that there was a time when I didn't have to watch bullshit like that.
Yep.
It makes me so mad.
We're doing it now.
Much more sophisticated show than I thought it was going to be in terms of like how it's portraying things. Like, it seems like the nobility just fucking suck. I'm surprised these people in Paris did not like try to kill him right there.
Well, it's like nice because I was like, oh, maybe it's going to romanticize all of this more than it has. Like it's doing a fair read of the situation and depicting it.
It seems like they totally deserve the revolution based on what's going on. I mean, Marie sucks in this episode. She's just insufferable.
Oh, she's been insufferable the whole time. What are you talking about?
I know, but this is like now she actually has a job and is like not rising to the occasion at all.
She's like, I think her mom's going to regret that. Down. I'm going to send you to France, our enemy. Yeah. This is like a undercover Trojan horse situation where we hate France. And this Marie Antoinette is the way to topple the whole country because she's so annoying.
Well, if that's the case, this is an enormous blunder based on how things work out. Sending Lenin to the Soviet Union kind of, or to Russia kind of mistake, grand level mistake, if that's the plan. Because they are all going to get rolled by Napoleon eventually. Another thing to think about, this leads to Napoleon. We won't get that far in this show, though. But yeah. Nope. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Episode
12. Any other thoughts about episode 11?
No, yeah, just very much like, oh my gosh, crazy stuff. These are good episodes.
Again, Oscar is great this episode.
Yes, yeah.
That's nice. Really liking Oscar more in these episodes. Okay, The Rose of Versailles, episode 12, is called The Morning of the Duel. Oscar is... We open on a hunting crew containing Duke Orleans and Duke Guimine ride past Oscar and Andre, splashing them along the way. Oscar remembers last episode where Duke Guimine shot a kid in the back and sees red. She tries to pull her sword right there, but Andre stops her and is like, come on, you can't fight this guy right now. Also, he's holding a gun. She says that what the Duke did was absolutely unforgivable, as the OP plays. We cut back to several ladies carrying a ton of boxes to the palace. Oscar's like, what's all this? And Andre tells her that Marie's been on a buying spree, and even the finance minister is complaining about it. We see Marie being presented with an assortment of dresses. She seems mildly impressed, but she just has so many dresses, you know? It's like, how can you really impress me with all this stuff? The like lead designer who is there tells her that the queen must be at the forefront of fashion to set an example for all of the women of France.
It seemed like she was fishing for a compliment, she's fishing for engagement from these people by downplaying all the like.
She seems so bored. Oscar and Andre enter Marie's parlor. Marie is like, oh, Oscar, you're finally here. I've been wanting to see you so much, but like you're always somewhere else. I thought you were mad at me or something. And Oscar's like, no. Maybe she was, though. I've been thinking about killing a guy. Then Marie asks Andre, what?
She's pissed. Multiple things. One primary thing, but this isn't helping, is it?
No, this is a disaster. Marie then asks Andre what he thinks about the color of the brown dress she's holding, which was very interesting that she asked Andre this. Andre is like, oh, I don't know. It kind of reminds me of the color of a flea. And everyone's like, wow, that's such a vulgar thing to say. But then the designer decides to run with it. She's like, ah, yes, everything will be flea color. That'll be the trend for this year. And they all like speculate on things they can make that are like flea colored, while Oscar and Andre just kind of look at each other like, what the hell is going on?
I could see it being like talking or dragging Andre into conversations is like a way to get Oscar involved when she wouldn't voluntarily be like conversing or engaged with the conversation. But because she cares about Andre and like his standing, she has to like be more in it if Marie just drags him into the conversation.
That's a good point. I just read this as like Marie's bored and she's like, fuck it, let's ask Andre what he thinks.
Well, she's probably like, well, if there's tension between them, even though Oscar says there isn't and Marie doesn't care about being liked, let's just like be even more annoying and like use Andre.
Yeah.
To drag you into this conversation.
No, that totally fits, especially how Andre is annoyed after it. We cut to Andre throwing a rock into a fountain. He's like, what the hell was that? Why is the queen worried about fashion and not, you know, the state of affairs? He says that she's wasting taxpayer money. And this total thing is like completely absurd. But Oscar tells him it's fine. And he's like, what do you mean it's fine? Last episode, you were the one saying this stuff. Now I'm the one saying it. Why is it fine? But Oscar tells him that Marie is just doing this all because she's lonely without Fursen. And this is the only way she knows how to cope.
Boo.
And I'm like, are you serious, Oscar? Come on.
Yeah, no, don't give her that grace. And also just hang out with her as like a
better way. Yeah, just hang out with her. It's on you. What else do you have to do, Oscar? Your job is to do nothing.
Yeah.
In Vienna, Empress Maria Theresa is presented with a portrait of Queen Marie. Maria is like, or Empress Teresa is like, what the hell is this? Why is she dressed like an actress? She's supposed to be the Queen of France. She looks terrible. She sends the painting back and is like dismayed at what her daughter has become. She prays that Marie will understand that money doesn't grow on trees, but doesn't seem all that confident.
For these things, I feel like it's not that like, oh God, why?
This is a terrible choice. Sending,
what, does she like
sending
spoil
Marie
her
Antoinette.
Like crazy?
It's such a bad move.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this scene's so funny. She's just like, my daughter's gonna blow it. It's over. France is doomed.
Well, I want to see Marie see that even her mom is rejecting her gifts, and like, oh, maybe she could ponder what that could mean.
Yeah, well, she's going to be doing some pondering right now. Back in Versailles, Marie admires herself in the mirror. She thinks about all of the nicknames that she's been given. The Fairy of Versailles, the Queen of Rococo, which is like some fashion trend, and the Rose of France. Not the Rose of Versailles, though. But in her heart, something is still missing. What could it be? What could it be, mother? What am I missing in my life?
Morals.
Self-awareness. An understanding things. Of how the world works in a general sense.
Yeah, you're having an affair. She probably doesn't even think she is. She was, as far as that time goes.
Do you think King Louis is still scared of her because she's pretty and he doesn't know what to say? Probably.
Well, we saw what beauty did to Fursen, and he's much more equipped to handle it. So
that's true. She's just too powerful. Why
her husband just is incapacitated.
Maybe she should dress
beauty.
Like a flea. It'll like dampen the effect, you know?
Yeah, it's not, I don't really love the color brown for an entire dress. I feel like that's the better
it's like terrible.
Like a secondary kind of trim thing or something.
Like a flea themed is bad. It's a bad theme.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to a dinner amongst the richest families. The king, queen, Duke Orleans, and Duke Umine are all there, plus some other people, but who cares? There, Duke Umine says that peasants all need to be worked to the bone to provide for them, and then laughs because he is a cartoon villain. Queen Marie floats the idea that canceling the morning audiences with like the nobles and the general public. And everybody else at the table is like, that's a great idea because now we'll all get to sleep in. And also, there's no reason to see the masses anyway. Who cares what those peasants have to say? Whatever.
more of a like, oh, if she does that, people be more mad at her and we don't want them in power. So have at it. Ruin your reputation more is kind of what I was thinking. Maybe some of them were.
Yeah, well, she asks everybody, and like King Louis is like, yeah, that sounds great, because he doesn't think. And Duke Orleans is like, that's an excellent idea, because he's like, I hope they kill you. And then Duke Amina is like, who cares what the masses say anyway, which is the thing I think he just actually thinks because he sucks.
Right. Dear.
Oscar pipes up and offers her opinion. She says that meeting with the general public is the king and queen's duty, and it's important to learn about the world from the commoner's perspective, like straight from their mouths and not filtered through other people. Maria's like, oh, is that why we do that? All right, cool. Nah, we'll keep that meeting then. It's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, she's such an idiot.
See, that's why, like, Oscar, you don't realize the power you have just by being her friend. You could be, like, making things happen through her.
This is the problem.
You have to be very clearly explaining everything, but...
See, I want you to imagine, like, an alternate universe where, like, Oscar had teamed up with Dewberry. I don't think Dewberry would be falling for this. You know what I mean? Like, because she used to be a commoner.
Oh, like,
I
feel like there's, because the problem is, like, had been in a position.
Was with Duke Orleans instead of the Louis Marie Antoinette pair. Because I don't think she would have known, because these are like her guys, right?
Well,
like, she's from the commoners.
She'd be like, yeah. Well, do you just forget that? You get out of touch, or. You're just glad it's not you anymore. I don't know that. Well, I don't think she would like speak up for them at the risk of her position there.
Well, yeah, I don't think she's going to like actually advocate for them. I'm just saying, I think she would recognize that things are about to go to shit. You know what I mean? I think she'd have her like, she'd understand like things are getting bad a little bit sooner.
If you guys keep doing this, we're going to lose it all.
Yeah. I think it'd be more like a that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the problem is that like Marie is naive and Oscar can't scheme, because like Oscar could be like running the show more or less, right?
Yeah.
By influencing Marie, because Marie seems to be running the show because King Louis is a nothing person. But Oscar is not willing to do that because she's not a schemer, even though maybe you should be a schemer.
Yeah, for good. Or
yeah,
good.
Right, but like in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, later, Duke Guimine is showing off his pistol to some ladies. He brags about how he's a great shot. And then he sees Oscar passing by and trash talks her. He says it's ridiculous that a mere woman can be made a colonel. Oscar gets pissed and tells him that it's big talk from a guy who'd shoot a child in the back. No one should pass judgment like that. Only God. Is that what you think, Duke Guimine? You think you're a god or something? You're nothing without your title. And he slaps her with a white glove, indicating a challenge to a duel. Oscar agrees and says the weapon of choice will be pistols, which makes Duke Guimine sweat, and he says that he's going to put a bullet through her pretty face.
Yeah, as soon as I saw those gloves, I was like, oh, snap, I know what that means.
Yeah, it's going. He was prepared, but I do like how she's like, I'm picking pistols, the thing you're apparently good at, and he's like, oh, so shit.
Demolish you with the thing you're bragging about. So good.
That's so good. We cut to Oscar practicing her pistol skills. Unsurprisingly, they're incredible. Off to the side, Andre Girardel and General Jardin's watch on. The general is not concerned at all about this duel because he knows Oscar is incredible and is going to win. He's just like, whatever. Girardel's like, why'd she pick pistols? She could have picked anything. Why'd she pick the thing he was good at? Because apparently Duke Guimine came in like second at like some sharpshooting tournament recently or something. But the general is still unbothered. He's like, I have full confidence in my son. Andre says that Duke Guimine is a coward, though, and is probably going to, like, do some trick or some underhanded thing. We cut to Duke Guimine and Duke Orleans hanging out. Duke Guimine brags about how they'll finally be rid of Oscar, because, like, I'm a way better shot, right, Duke Orleans? And Orleans is like, yeah, I mean, maybe. And Guimine starts getting nervous. Orleans offers him some advice. He says that there's a spot where the light gets reflected off of a window in the early hours, so if the dueling ground was there... it sure would be a shame if Oscar were to stand right into that beam of light that would blind her, wouldn't it? And Duke Guimine agrees. So that's their plan.
Well, he's like, I'll tell you this for like a price or something. We don't know what that is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what does he want in return from this guy?
Yeah, it's a weird thing to offer because you already know that this guy's in your camp. But I don't know. I guess they're still like transactional.
Can't let anyone feel too comfortable or like
yeah.
Familiar.
we're all businessmen here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Later that night, Oster is stargazing. Andre comes out to see her and asks if she's nervous. And she says, not really, but then admits that she is actually kind of nervous, not about dying, but she's afraid, because she's not afraid of death, but she's afraid of killing a guy, because I guess she's never done that. Even though we saw her do that a lot.
Well, she, well,
remember when
I
she killed all
she
those guys in that cave?
That's what we thought, but also maybe not. Maybe she just incapacitated them. Well, this is her whole shtick of, like, you know, honor and stuff is like life has value regardless of whose life it is and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's a nice idea, but that's not how the world works.
Nice idea. But also she's like, Duke Umine must be stopped, but killing somebody isn't how Oscar wants to go about doing it. Andre insists that he'll be there. He's like, don't worry, Oscar, I'll be there in case anything happens. But she's like, Garadell's going to be my second. It's fine. You don't have to go. But he insists on going because come on, man. You're not going to let Andre go? Come on.
No, why he tells Andre. He's an observer. I guess it has to be someone of the position.
Yeah,
maybe?
You probably need somebody. You probably can't just have like your stable hand do it.
Mm.
She tells Andre that if she doesn't make it, the treasure box they buried as children will be his. And then she lists off all of the contents that she's remembered after all this time.
Lucky him. Some stuff of real value.
He's like, wow, I can't remember you remember that. It's the morning of the duel. Oscar, Ghirardel, Duke Orleans, Duke Umine, and a doctor are all present. Also, Andre shows up at some point. I just didn't see him there. Oscar and Umine get their pistols and prepare themselves. Elsewhere, Marie Antoinette is woken up and told about the duel, and she rushes off to go stop them.
Her hair looks better just down like that.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy ass hairstyles.
Make Oscar and Umine stand.
Eagle ears. Sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. Yeah. No, it does look pretty good just straight down, but I guess that's not the style.
No.
Oscar and Gumine stand back to back, and the step count starts while Marie rushes off to the dueling site. We get a pretty good like little montage thing of like Marie rushing, Oscar taking steps, and then getting flashbacks of her life. And, you know, as the count is going up, this is a pretty good sequence. When it gets close to the end, Oscar notices the light beam she's about to step into and realizes that it's a trick. She remembers what the Duke said about shooting her in the face. So as she takes the final step, she turns, but instead of firing, she raises the gun to block her face. And Duke Umine fires right into her forehead, but the bullet ricochets off the gun.
I guess the bullets were just much more lightweight back then, so it wouldn't have just
they were lower
the gun like it would now.
So it just like deflects off, so like lower caliber bullets, like it's not uncommon for people to get shot and then just to kind of be okay for a little bit, because it's not like piercing all the way through you or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar calmly decides to shoot Duke Umine in his right hand so he can never fire a gun again, and just does that. She's so casual about it too.
She's just so good at everything. It's great.
Marie arrives on the scene as Duke Umine curses Oscar. Marie scolds Oscar for dueling and sentences her to disciplinary confinement for a month. Then she scolds Duke Umine for doing something so vulgar as dueling, and then she like gets into her carriage and leaves. Andre comments that her punishment for Oscar is too harsh, but Marie thinks to herself that it was the only way she could protect Oscar from the nobility as we cut to credits.
I mean, technically Oscar was invited. Oscar did not start this, just meeting
the
challenge.
Yeah, but like, you know they're gonna be petty about it.
Yeah. Well, okay, what do we think? She's actually... Well, I feel like... Is this like, oh, Marie's actually gonna think about things now?
The thing is that, like... Like, Marie Antoinette is like a savvy operator when it comes to her friends, and that's the only time she ever is.
Yeah, well, I guess maybe that's the, like, if Oscar's not going to control or manipulate her for good, she'll just have to, like, force her hand by, like, putting herself in harm's way, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be what her MO is.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we think Oscar should have just killed Duke Umine here?
I feel like there would have been a lot of repercussions.
But I feel like there's going to be repercussions anyway, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully he just is like tail between his legs and kind of buzzes off for a bit at least.
I can't decide. I feel like, I don't know.
He definitely Oscar never would have done it, I guess, but.
She wouldn't have done it. Like, it's against her character, but
just,
I'm like.
We get him and we just chuck him in a sea of those peasants that he shot a kid in front of and then let them take care of the rest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's fair.
Beat the shit out of him or something.
Yeah. That but she doesn't kill him because she thinks about doing it and decides not to, which I think is kind of interesting. But I think she probably should have shot this guy.
Point where she has to break her code. The point will come, but it's not this. I guess push her past her breaking point. Her she's gonna have to give up some of the idealism of justice. At some point, her hand will be forced to act it more seriously.
Yeah.
Finality. No,
but she has been able to kind of stick to her guns so far. But yeah, that can't last. Yeah. So what do we think about this episode? I like it when Oscar shoots a guy.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I'm just hoping. Okay, because this is like much more like things, like bigger things happening now. And I'm just hoping this like pace and priority of things escalates. And hopefully Marie Antoinette can like be, I don't know, pressure cooked into a better leader or something. Something needs to change with her. I can't go 30 more episodes with her acting like this.
Yeah, no, it's definitely like unsustainable what she's doing.
Yes.
And we're still a ways away from the actual revolution. So.
Yeah. So I guess you think we'll have like, I guess I'm like, at what point she's probably gonna get knocked up. We're gonna have a time skip. The children will be somewhat older and then revolution maybe.
Yeah.
Because I mean, again,
like, she has to have all those kids and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, will there be any like development within Oscar's personal life? Like, will anyone try to propose to Oscar, or will Andre like move on, or
who knows? You
stuff
know?
Like that. Yeah, because there's not much like Oscar.
I mean, she's in house arrest right now, so she's got all the time in the world to hang out with Marie, I guess.
She's or Oscar to dramatically or, read Andre. Books and stare at a portrait of her. Mom who's alive.
That's right.
Yeah, who's not the lady in waiting anymore, I guess, because she haven't seen her around, have we?
No.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't.
Yeah, well, we'll just have to find out next time on The Rose of Versailles.
Yep, three more episodes. We're like a fourth of the way through.
Yep. Like in the show so far. I'm glad I watched all three episodes this time. That was my bad last time. And yeah, I hope, has your mom given any input like on Rose of Versailles thoughts, feelings?
No, we haven't talked about it in a little bit.
Okay. Dang. I want to hear the thoughts. Let us know what you guys are thinking. Yeah. So I'll just say, you guys be sure to follow us. I have it linked to our link tree within the show description on whatever platform you're listening on. And if you do that, you can even join Discord server where we have some dedicated channels if you guys want to chat in depth about some of this stuff. Or just follow us on Instagram, yada, yada, yada. Where else can they find us, Joe?
I don't know. Oh, but you can send us an email at our email address at showjoepod@gmail.com.
That's right. First... it's been a year. First listener email slot still up for grabs.
It's true. Rate us 5 stars on everything. Mm-hmm. Leave comments and stuff like that. You know the drill. This probably isn't the first episode that you're listening to. So please sure to do that. We do really appreciate it. It does really help us out. It doesn't take that long. I know it's not a thing everybody thinks about. You probably listen to this, or if you're not listening to this, I guess I can't communicate with you, but if you can listen to this, you should go ahead and do it. If you haven't done it yet, it would really help us out. Really appreciate it. Also tell people about it so other people can listen to the show, so we can grow our audience. And by growing our audience, we can, I don't know, sell out. What would we do if we grew our audience? Watch cooler shows. We do more bonus content is what we would do.
Yeah,
probably
more bonus content. Yeah, maybe we'll make it big and someone else can edit these episodes. The nightmare will be over.
Uh-huh. The nightmare.
My shoddy work will be done.
I still got to make all these summaries. That's what really takes so much time.
Yeah. Well, because you saw what happened when we don't have a summary and I just go off the top of the noggin and just go on forever and ever.
Yes, our recent episode on Jurassic Park, I edited that one and Sarah did the summary. So if you want to hear like a little reversal, it's a good time.
Yep. All right. Guess that how long is your recording at this point? This is a long one.
1 hour and 42 minutes. Damn. Because we took a big break in the middle.
Whoops. Yep. Yay me. Yeah. I get to patch together my parts of the recording because I had audio issues as per usual.
What did we learn this episode? What did we remember?
Leave the kids alone.
Don't if you're in a duel, don't announce where you're gonna shoot somebody, okay? Just make it a mystery. She can't block everywhere with her gun. Don't say you're gonna shoot her in the head.
Don't shoot anyone, maybe is a better message to put out there.
I think if you get the opportunity, like, you can shoot him in the hand and that's like ironic or whatever because he's a good shot and now he can't shoot, but like, you probably should have just put one in between the eyes.
Oh my god, Joe.
She probably should have just, because then we would be done with him. I'm sure he's going to be a bigger problem later. And like, you might as well deal with it now when you have free license to kill a guy instead of later when you're going to have to probably kill him in some kind of awkward duel or something. I really wonder if like General Jar Javes was just cool with Oscar killing this guy. Is he like, yeah, kill him. Who cares? He was like totally unbothered.
If
he's
code of conduct for like what you're supposed to do or don't. Like, maybe you're not supposed to try to shoot for a fatal injury, or it's like these can't do that much damage, so one bullet's not going to be enough.
Yeah, she could have killed him.
No,
in the
I
head,
don't like that.
It would have been over.
Let's remember a difference.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I don't kill guys in duels. Just shoot them in the hand or whatever.
Don't
it's great.
Strangle old ladies and chuck them off. Oh, man.
The violence was off the charts in these episodes. Every single episode had like violence in it.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
That's crazy. Let's see. If somebody gives you a speech from the law department and the narrator is like, you should remember this guy, you should probably remember that guy.
That's what we're remembering to do.
Yeah.
This night.
Make sure to remember people that the narrator tells you to pay attention to. Because the narrator is usually pretty good at like picking stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't get entranced by beautiful women. Just like,
oh my God.
Go home.
Yeah. Yes, let's use reason and logic. And my God, don't be a fresh out of your teens dude thinking about one thing, even though it's like you guys aren't even doing anything. So why are you even hanging out with her? Yeah. All you're doing is talking to her and she's annoying as hell. So like, that seems like a punishment, not like a reward. Just take
it's funny
that
this episode
her mom didn't want with you to Sweden.
Well, we know that first is going to go fight in the American Revolution, which is like probably happening right about now, or like it's getting close to happening. So he's going to go do that before he comes back, I think.
Okay, maybe he'll be.
Because we're in like 1770 something at this point.
75, I think.
Yeah, so that's really close. I mean, 76 is when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe he'll.
He's going to come back a war hero.
Have some.
You think we're
going to
have Lafayette in this show?
Was that name sound familiar?
Because he's the hero of two worlds.
Two worlds.
By the hero of two worlds, I mean only the Americans like him because he was helpful in the American Revolution and the French do not seem to care about him at all.
Okay. Now, I need to brush up on the...
I don't see him as a voice actor, so it does, I don't know if we're going to get much of him, which is sad.
Oh, well.
I mean, not really. I don't know. I don't...
yeah.
Let me see the my anime list. Let's see what they got.
For what?
I'm trying to see if Lafayette's a character.
Okay, you can search characters on... I barely use that website.
It doesn't look like it.
Nope. Oh, well. Okay. Well.
All right. Well.
That's it today.
That's that.
Oh,
no, he's there.
Okay. There you go, Joe. Your heroes are going to be there.
All your favorite revolutionaries are going
to
be there.
Yeah.
Robespierre, Mirabeau.
Doesn't mean anything to anyone. Mirabeau sounds like a Pokemon. Anyways, look forward to all those people. We all know who they are in future coverage of the Rose
all
of
your favorites.
Here on JoJo.
Yeah.
And we'll chat to you next time. Bye bye. Ending episode. Here we go.
All right,
it's
bye.
Over.
Thank you.